Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning into the Pomp and Pony podcast for this week with our special guest, Paul Azinger. You're going to love the interview. Great insight from Paul. Just one heads up. The guys recorded the interview with Paul early in the week prior to the Tiger Woods accident. So just keep that in mind when you hear the guys talking with Tiger Woods and why the accident wasn't brought up. Enjoy.
This is the Hometown Roofing Pomp and Pony Podcast, presented by Hometown Roofing. Put your trust in us and powered by Bowser Chevrolet. Here's Bob Pompieni from KDKA-TV and Andrew Filipponi from 93.7 The Fan.
Welcome to another edition of the Pomp and Pony Podcast. Bob Pompieni, Andrew Filipponi. We're happy to have with us one of the biggest names in golf, Paul Azinger, who joins us now as the golf tour is about to hit Bradenton, Florida for the first time, I imagine. The WGC, which normally is held in Mexico, of course, with all the pandemic stuff going on, Paul, they had to make a change in the schedule. So it's in Bradenton, which is where you are. That's got to be great news.
Yeah, we're in the home of the Pittsburgh Pirates, and the greatest players on earth have shown up here. I would have been packing yesterday to go to Mexico City. And instead, I'm sleeping on my own pillow, and they're going to play on my course. I'm a member. I wouldn't call it my home course, but I've played it about 500 times probably. And it's a real challenge. I think the local players around here are going to be either vindicated that maybe they weren't as bad as they thought, or the players are going to make a mockery of this place, and the locals are going to be thinking, wow. We believe that this course is so hard. But it's going to be a great start to the Florida swing after a good West Coast, and I can't wait to see how they do here.
Paul, when you play that course, are you playing with other former pros, or are you playing with a bunch of schmucks and Joes like me? Yeah. Like, are you playing with guys that are like 10, 15 handicaps, or are you playing with great golfers?
No, I mean single-digit players, you know, a lot of mini-tour guys.
Okay.
And we get devoured by it. But I walked around there the other day. We did a survey at NBC to see where the cameras go and all that stuff, and because they'd never seen it. And I looked at it from Bryson's eyes, you know, or Dustin Johnson, Rory's eyes, and I saw a whole nother golf course. And I think if the wind doesn't blow, some of the things that, you know, I can't carry, these guys are going to fly it. So we'll see what happens. All the show ponies are here, though, and that really has me excited. The sad news, of course, 500 fans per day, unfortunately, but they're here.
Well, hopefully that'll change soon. I think it should. But, Paul, I want to talk about you're now a lead commentator with NBC, had time before that with Fox. You've done a lot, 12-time winner on tour, major championship in 93 at the PGA, and, of course, the Ryder Cup captain at Valhalla in Kentucky. Being a lead announcer, do you feel pressure, you know, in a situation where you're dealing with guys? Because I know Johnny Miller at the time got into some, you know, hot water, for being honest, I thought, on certain things. How does your approach go when you're analyzing the game as a color commentator?
Well, my number one goal is to never tell the viewer something they just saw. That's first. And I'd also would rather have the viewer want me to say more than to shut the heck up. So that's two of my number one priorities. And my wife always says to me before I leave, now just remember, nobody's tuning in to hear you. So I got plenty of humility when I walk into that booth. Now, as far as treating the players, I personally don't want to get to know them so I can be as candid as Johnny was. Wow. I thought Johnny took it over the line on a lot of occasions. And, you know, then, see, like I stepped across the line at Honda Classic last year talking about Tommy Fleetwood and wanting to win on the PGA Tour. And, you know, I just took a shot at the European Tour because I'm an American. And so. But I just said, you know, you can win on that tour all you want, but you got to win here. That's why he's here. Well, I got crushed for that. So, you know, and what happens when you're so candid and you make a comment like that, the other announcers have to hear it from the players and either defend me or say, I got no defense for that guy. So you have to be careful. It's not just you that's going to take the heat. The other broadcasters get questions about the guy who said something stupid or harsh or whatever. I don't want to do that. But I really don't want to know the players all that well. I just think it makes me less candid, to be honest with you.
I find that comment not to be harsh at all, though. I think a lot of people feel that way, and that's why a lot of the guys in Europe come over here to play, because they realize they got to win over here. This is I was just surprised that you put it out there, and then people reacted, and players are coming out. I'm thinking, what in the world? How sensitive can they be? Don't they have to develop thicker skin or ignore things?
Probably, but, you know, I got a little unlucky because there was no European Tour event that week. Podrick came up to me laughing. He says, thank you, Zinger. We're going to have that on the wall at the Ryder Cup. And, you know, some European caddies were really ticked off at me. But, you know, my only response to the media and to them after, I apologize to Tommy and Westwood a little bit, you know. I love Tommy Fleetwood. I don't want to put more pressure on the poor guy. But, you know, the bottom line is you only choke for two things at this level, and it's cash and prestige. And really, how could it even be cash at this point? It's Millionaire's Row out there now when you stand on the practice tee and watch them hit. So, you know, yeah, get some thicker skin. What the heck?
Paul, any
go ahead.
Any moments where you had to reconcile, like any kind of moments that you could tell us about where a player and you had to try to, you know, mend fences or patch things up where it got really heated, or have you, you know?
Once.
Yeah.
Once. Just with Rory Sabatini when I was with ABC when he was wearing the flamethrowers, the red pants, and he was playing with Ben Crane for the third day. And Crane is so slow. And Judy Rankin was noticing following the group that Rory Sabatini left Ben Crane on 17 and finished the last two holes out ahead of him by himself, basically. And Crane had a outside chance to win. He started catching up, and Rory, Sabatini was on the back of the green with his red flamethrowers on, and, I mean, I lit him up. He might have had white pants. I don't know whatever it was. I think he might have had white pants on a red shirt. But either way, I just said something. I'd have had to take him out. That's something like that. So I had to call him up and apologize for that, and he hadn't spoken to me since. So that's okay. I don't care about that. I don't really care if they love me, hate me, or I'm not looking to make a. You know, I want the viewer to learn something because you know every viewer out there plays the game, or unless it's Tiger, they're golfers. You know, so. If I can help you understand how to pitch a ball or, these guys are dealing in philosophy, not as much technique. You know, it takes a philosophy to swing as hard as you want at a driver like Bryson. You can say whatever you want about his technique, but it is a mental decision to be recklessly wailing away at it. And, you know, I want the viewer to understand that it's not just physical dominance that with Bryson and his power. He's got to decide to make that swing with trouble all around, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to have that aggressive attitude, and you got to say, "I'm not willing to look at it." I know enough about golf to know how you have to think that way, but I mean,
hey, I played the tour 30 years, and every single time I'd come home and play like a genius, and I'd be like, "I'm going to be that free when I get on tour. I'm going to be that free," and it's not. You can't. It's hard.
Well, he's been doing something for the game that a lot of people fall in love with, sort of like in a way without the loud mouth pants, John Daly. You know, I mean, it's a guy who just goes out there and starts whacking away. I think people like that. It's like the home run hitter, Andrew. You know, the guy who comes to the plate and he may strike out.
Yeah, but how about like the 6 protein shakes a day? You know, how about he's eating like crazy, isn't he? I mean,
he's put on a ton of weight or muscle or whatever.
He told me yesterday that he's laid off that. He's not in a quest for speed. And, you know, look, I think golf should be fun. And, you know, golf is simple, but it's just not easy. I always, if I'm teaching, the only thing causing that ball to slice or hook is side spin. I mean, I break it down. So I see him yesterday, and he says to me, I'm off the weight gain. I'm off the speed. I'm not looking for any more speed. I'm right where I want to be. Now I got to figure out how to get the velocity I want with the spin I want and, you know, calculate the humidity and all this. And this is like, whoa. How long can you sustain that? I don't know.
Paul, what's your relationship like with Tiger?
It's okay. I mean, we were partners at Ryder Cup, and he was not on our Ryder Cup team because he had the leg injury.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, look, I mean, you guys went through kind of my resume. I was started at ABC, which eventually became ESPN, which eventually went away. But when I was eventually became ESPN and I had to do SportsCenter hits and Tiger hit the fire hydrant, our relationship changed.
Yeah.
And I love Tiger. I was candid, and I think he respects me and all that. But, you know, I'm media now, so he's guarded.
Mm. It's the Hometown Roofing Pop and Pony podcast powered by Bowser Chevrolet.
Well, he's also a guy who, he keeps his boundaries up. I thought after this whole ordeal when he first came back, and I don't know what you thought about that press conference that he gave. I thought that didn't need to happen, just the way it happened. But
I agree.
Did you? Okay. Well, he still has these boundaries, and I thought those boundaries might soften a little bit. Not that he's not going to be focused on tour. It just seems like he's not changed from that point of view, and I thought I'd see a change, at least with regard to, you know, galleries.
You know what? Where he's really gotten better is with the other players and this group of people out here. You got to realize all these players grew up idolizing Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's really weird to see, you know, how much Max Homa idolizes Tiger. You know, Tiger hated, you know, he didn't hate us. Tiger looked at all of us like we were in his way. And he was just couldn't wait to backhand you and check you off his list. Got him, beat Norman, beat Faldo, took out Price. Last group with Zinger, he's out. Check. He'd win a couple. You know, he'd win tournaments early on that I had won. I said, you keep going, buddy. You might catch me. You might catch me. And then when he started blowing by me, you know, we had that different banter. And I miss it because Tiger's a good heckler, and I like to heckle too. But,
Normally hear that about golfers being hecklers or guys who...
I like that. I like the trash talk angle to it.
Do you think the game needs more of that? You know, not necessarily heckling to the point where... But I mean,
personality.
A little personality. Like what you say about Rory. Rory's a different kind of guy. He's a guy who was outspoken about Tiger.
Yeah.
And I always hoped that they... Yeah. I always hoped that they were paired together in the final group of something, just because.
Well, I remember Stephen Ames said something about Tiger. And then Tiger, the 18-hole match, he beat him 9, 10, and 8.
Yep, that was unbelievable. I remember
and
that, too.
With 8 to go.
I wonder
what he told him as they...
Tiger asked him, you know, what do you think about what Stephen Ames said? Tiger just looked at the camera and said, 10 and 8. See, he 10 and 8-ed everybody in his brain.
Yeah.
And now he loves everybody. It's a different guy. You know, Tiger used to be uncomfortable if you were comfortable with him. And now I think he's uncomfortable if you're not comfortable with him. It's a completely different person.
But does that make him less of a dominant guy? I know he's up there in age. He's going to be 46 next year, and Nicholas won the Masters at 46. So I don't think, after 2019, that I would doubt him. But can he achieve Nicholas's record?
I doubt it. I mean, he could. You know, he certainly can putt, and he certainly could play till he's 55. But he's not gifted or blessed with that flexibility that Phil Mickelson has. And you can say, you know, what you want about working out and fitness and all that, but I think Tiger's proven that strong abs do not prevent a bad back. It might have, maybe because of his fitness and all that, he's the only guy in the world that could still be playing at this level. That's probably a positive because of his fitness. But Phil Mickelson, I mean, he worked out curling In-N-Out burgers, you know. And
he does that like karate kick over that guy's head. I saw that video and I said, holy shit. I didn't know he had
He's like Gumby, bro. He can kick a door jam like Sam Snead could kick a door jam, double jointed or something, all the way to the top. So, but Mickelson doesn't get hurt, he'll still be going. But Tiger's got a different body, you know, and that body is fired up and it's falling apart. And I just don't see him doing it. It's the first time I think I've ever publicly said I doubt he'll do it. Doesn't mean I don't think he'll win another one, but he's not in good shape.
Paul, who is the best athlete that isn't a golfer that you've played with?
Ever?
Yeah.
The best athlete that isn't a golfer, I mean, I've played with Julius Erving. That's pretty good.
Wow.
No, I'm saying on the golf course. Like it was. I'm saying like as far as translating into a golfer, the best one you played with.
The best athlete on tour?
Yep.
Tiger. I think Tiger could dunk a basketball when he was in his prime. I don't know anybody else that could do that. His dad said he could haul butt, you know, and he would have been a great hurdler, an Olympic hurdler, so he must have been able to fly.
Yeah.
And but the guys that you know about, you know, there's been some really good athletes that played the tour. Gary Woodland probably comes to mind.
He hooped, right? He was at one
he
of
was,
those.
He was, yeah.
So you got
what about Koepka? He looks like one, but is he?
He looks like a linebacker now. It's really a different sport, man. I mean, there's a picture out now with the top two players drinking I think it's Rory and Dustin Johnson together, drinking like some kind of health beverage. And then right next to it, it's a black and white of Hogan and Arnie with hands on hips, both with a heater out of, you know, coming out of the corner of their mouth.
Oh, it's
just so different. And the golf's played on a different scale, even more so than it was 10, 15 years ago. The ball's going a mile, and they're launching. Mathematically, they figured out it's like throwing a javelin. You have spin with a ball that you don't get with the javelin, but if you launch it at the right trajectory, you will optimize your distance. And so that's what's going on as much as the ball going too far. And they're playing golf on a large scale, bud, and it's a thrill to watch.
Paul, did you know Arnold Palmer well?
Real well. I knew him when I was 19 years old. I worked at the Arnold Palmer Golf Academy. Yeah, I've known him my whole life, basically. I'm looking at pictures of me and Arnie right now. I qualified at Bay Hill. I was a low qualifier paired with Arnie at the U.S. Open. I got paired with him in the PGA, I think, in 88 the first 2 days when I led, and ended up losing on Sunday. But, yeah, I love Arnold. He was the man.
He was the man. He was Tiger before Tiger was Tiger, and I remember one thing. We were at a banquet at Oakmont, and I was emceeing it, and it was later in his life. And we were talking, and one of the things he said, we were just BSing, and he said, Bobby, I'm glad I didn't live in this Twitter world. I would never have been able to do some of the things I did.
Oh, no. Hey, look, there's a lot of us feel like that.
Well, I know I do, too. I mean, we all do. But to hear it from him, it was just like, oh, my, the king, are you kidding me?
I know. He knows, bud. He knows the difference of what's going on right now. I mean, look at Justin Thomas. You know, he berates himself with a terrible, you know, he said a terrible thing gets caught on air.
Yep.
So many of us, you know, players in the past could get caught dropping a F-bomb or something on TV, but there was no social media to replay it that afternoon and the next day and the whole deal. But now there is. And when Justin Thomas said that, well, it's getting replayed over and over again. So it's, you live by the social media and you die by it.
Paul, are you an Oakmont guy? Did you like coming up here and playing in U.S. Opens?
Oh, yeah. I've known Bob Ford since I was about 20, probably 21. So I was happy to see Bob Ford there at Oakmont, and always loved it. Know the Fuhrer family real well. Bobby Friend's one of my buddies, Bob Friend. I love the Pittsburgh area. My dad was born there.
Oh.
And I'm a huge Pirates fan. My dad was born in Pittsburgh.
Oh, boy. You're in Bradenton, a huge Pirates fan. I would ask you what your thoughts are, but you may not want to go
look,
there.
It ain't good. We'll just say that.
Well, at some point, you got to find a needle in a haystack, don't you?
Well, you know, it's amazing. You look at the farm system in Tampa, and what the heck is going on there? They're pulling these players up out of their farm system right and left, and you know,
they're fleecing the Pirates in trades is what they're doing, Paul.
That's what ends up happening, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. This has been Titletown this year. Yeah. We got to watch the Bucks, a.k.a. the Patriots, win the Super Bowl.
Wow. There you go.
Hey, Paul, what is something you could give as far as advice goes to someone who might listen to this and is a guy that once the weather gets nice here, golfs once a month, twice a month, doesn't get out much, but is trying to make himself a better player.
Just chip around in the house while you get a chance. You know, if you have any grass, you can clip it or chip it off of. And, you know, most people just hit a chip shot when with the leading edge, your hands are forward, your weight's left, and you hit and you kind of stop the club at the ball. That's a chip, and the ball gets out in the front of the face. But if you want to be a good player when you come back, a better player, it's usually something simple like around the greens. And so I would say practice chipping instead of your hands forward at impact. Try to have your hands at even with the ball at impact. Set up with your hands even at the ball at impact and or at address and try to return there to impact, because the best players on tour can get the club to go past the ball, like they're cutting the legs out from underneath it. So I would just say, you know, if you had shag carpet, just try to chip it from 3 feet away and just hit little chips up onto the chair, up onto a little chair or something.
And when your wife objects?
Yeah, well, if you skull, don't say you heard it from me.
Hey, Paul, thanks so much, man. This has been a lot of fun.
It really has, and I know the people will be watching to see Bradenton right there on the marquee center of the Concession Golf Club this week. That should be fun, and all the best. We look forward to listening to your comments, and I, for one, have always enjoyed what you had to say. And I hope you keep it up that way, because I think that's what people want to hear.
Yeah, I appreciate it, and hopefully you learn something as you're enjoying those guys, watching them cha-ching or gag it up.
Paul Azinger, appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Paul. See ya.
You've been listening to the Hometown Roofing Pomp and Pony Podcast. Hometown Roofing, put your trust in us at Powered by Bowser Chevrolet. Join us each week for another Hometown Roofing Pomp and Pony Podcast.